League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Jose, as we enter hour number two, something disturbing has just taken place in the break.
Oh, no. What did I miss?
Oh, yes. So I think she felt pretty good about hour number one because she went around over the corner and underneath a little tarp over there, she took out a flip phone and she started dialing on it. What is this?
Who did you dial?
Well, who are you
just
calling?
Just going to have to guess.
We're in the midst of a show. I mean, what are you doing calling people up on a flip phone?
I'll never tell.
There's no place for that in this game.
I have one in the other corner, too, just in case.
Penalty flags are flying. She put one at both ends of the room. She had visions of a big touchdown tonight. And
don't
I guess
mess with the gloss.
Do not mess with the gloss.
Armed and dangerous. Props in every corner.
Some people have burner Twitter accounts. Carla has burner cell phones, apparently.
Burner flip phones.
Oh, yeah. Flip phones.
Yeah, we don't mess around here, Jose.
To get them at a swap meet? Where do you find flip phones in today's day and age?
That's what he said. Yes. You know, I mean, of course, he took a 15-yard penalty for it, and the game was still within reach. I mean, that's...
I mean, they won by 10.
Right, they
so
won by 10.
It wasn't really... It wasn't sealed up at that point before his touchdown.
And yet, he took that move. I don't think it's his finest moment.
No, but, you know, there's not a lot of criticism about it, which I'm kind of shocked about. I guess when you put up the numbers that Michael Thomas put up yesterday, 211 yards and catches... I guess you can hide a flip phone.
Well, he had a good day. Also not the finest move, Dak Prescott's interception. He was trying to force the ball into Amari Cooper, and that turnover got the Titans back into the game. Titans have now moved down the field and tied this one 7-7 as we are about midway through the second quarter, 7-7 Titans against the Cowboys.
Looks like a turnover tournament here.
Well, it is. They've had three turnovers right there in the first quarter. Amazing.
Yeah, both sides.
Yeah, two fumbles on part of the Titans and then the pick from Dak. So this one looks like it'll be a barn burner. A
I guess it's what 3-4 battles look like. Battles yeah. Between 3-4 teams look like this.
I know.
It's okay. Somebody's going to come out on top. So,
well, hopefully the Cowboys, they have really been good at home. I mean, they've been undefeated at home, and they've got all the energy of Monday night at home. This is the game they need to win.
They've got their obnoxious fans cheering them all the way. I think they're going to do it.
Here they go. All right, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Lance Zierlein of NFL.com and ESPN 97.5 in Houston. And we will ask him about those Texans, the Texans that started 0-3 and are now 6-0 in their last six games. When we return on SB Nation Radio.
Waited to the last minute to do your gift shopping? No problem. Head over to GiftingMap.com today to see the amazing curated collection of gifts and gifting ideas that the team has assembled for you. GiftingMap.com, your map to great gifting.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, here comes the moment we've been waiting for. The great Lance Zierlein joins us of NFL.com and ESPN 97.5 in Houston. Lance, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Lance. I got to see you on TV last night.
Yeah, I'm double dipping in the media front. I've got the radio, the TV at night, and the radio in the morning.
I know. I'm just glad you're talking to us. You haven't forgotten us little people here.
No, it's the little people are the TV to me. The radio are the big people.
There we are.
There we go.
Well, I want to start out with the question about the Texans. I mean, they started 0-3. They're now 6 wins in a row. Are they an 0-3 team or a 6-0 team?
Well, I mean, they're 6-0 team. You are what your current record is, and the 0-3 days are behind them. And look, I don't think anyone believes that they're one of the – I think most people wouldn't tell you that they're one of the best teams in pro football. But, you know, with the teams that are put in front of them, they're beating them. They're finding ways to win. You can look at it. You can spin it and say, well, they've had some help from the opposition. Well, you know, if someone makes a mistake, you have to be there to capitalize on it. And some teams don't capitalize when the opportunity arises. The Texans have capitalized. And I think right now they're playing with a lot more confidence. And we're seeing different elements of their game really take a step forward. So I know it's easy to focus on, you know, whether or not they're as good as their record. But what I see is a team that has definitely improved in some areas. And I think they deserve credit for turning it around. Most teams go in the tank after an 0-3 start, and the Texans didn't do that.
It's so true, Lance. And I think what you said is, it's just, I think they're made, it's progress, not perfection with the Texans.
Right.
And what I see is like every game feels just a little bit different. And I feel like they're moving in the right direction. Like I feel like even the offense, which was horrific to begin, it looks like they're taking the next steps. You see Deshaun making smarter decisions. He's sliding rather than, you know, taking more hits. Do you think the offense really is improving, and is the line looks like it's improving, at least in pass protection?
I think the offensive line has definitely played better. There's no way around it. They have definitely played better. Now, you know, there is a macro view and a micro view. The micro view is they are playing better now than they had previously, and the continuity is helping them out because it's the same basic group playing the same basic positions, and they're not flip-flopping all over the place. The macro view is they're not really talented enough in the long term to try to build towards a championship level, and so that will have to be addressed in the offseason by Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien. But for right now, they're playing better. I think it will help if and when they get Deontay Foreman back, but I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon. Although Lamar Miller had been running well before yesterday, that game, you know, the running game never really materialized there. But it's not going to help to have Will Fuller gone. It is going to help to have Demaryius Thomas with the bye week so that he can really get acclimated with the Texans offense over the next 2 weeks. So I think when they come back in 2 weeks, we have a chance to see a pretty good game. I think, you know, there's a pretty good chance that Washington's going to see a rested Texans team that is going to be that will have Demaryius Thomas fully incorporated into the game plan. And I'm actually excited to see.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein of our Houston affiliate, ESPN 97.5. So, Lance, we're watching Monday Night Football, Cowboys debuting Amari Cooper. When you look back at that trade, do you think the Cowboys overpaid?
Oh, without question. I mean, he was drafted in the first round. You're giving up a first round. You're saying we believe there's just as much value in him right now as before. And I don't know that you could say that, not based on, you know, his previous, year and almost a half before the Cowboys traded for him for a first round pick. I don't, and you know, they're going to have a contract they're having to pay him. It just, that didn't make a lot of sense from a value standpoint to me, but it was something they desperately needed. I guess the Cowboys decided to overpay, and they looked at him as next year's first round wide receiver that they were going to pick. And he does have a touchdown in today's game. And I do think he immediately comes in and is the Cowboys' best receiver and gives Dak Prescott a chance to have a legitimate target to throw to. So while it was much needed for the Cowboys, I just think the value wasn't great. But sometimes we get caught up in value, and Dallas needed a true wide receiver one, and they're banking on the fact that Amari Cooper can get back into the same you know, the same rhythm and the same level of impact that he had his first 2 years in the league. We'll see. Time will tell. But Dak desperately needed a quality wide receiver.
No doubt about that, Lance. Okay, I'm counting on you to help me mend my broken heart. As a princess of darkness, I can barely stomach what I'm seeing from Raider Nation. I mean, the game Thursday night. It was really like nothing I've ever seen before.
However, been breaking out into cold sweats here every time I mention Raiders. She's very, very sad, Lance.
Well, let me ask you something, Carla. Were you one of the ones who was super excited? I mean, I would imagine most Raider fans are really excited about the return of John Gruden, but I was really concerned. I mean, he hadn't coached for a while. It was such a long contract. And then you had the real question mark was how much personnel control are they going to give Gruden? I'm really worried for you, frankly.
Well, there's my concern as well, Lance, because, yes, I was part of Raider Nation that just practically cried when I found out he was coming back. I mean, in Gruden we trust, as David told me earlier. It's so true. I love him. And still at this point, I'm thinking, this guy is so smart. He's an incredible football mind. Certainly, he's intentional with what he's done with Mac, with Cooper, with Irvin. Certainly, he's got a long-term plan in place. But I do worry about, yes, only the Davis family would give, you know, a 10-year deal, of course. And then how much does he have to share with Reggie McKenzie, and how symbiotic is that relationship? And that's where I worry a little bit down the road.
Yeah, I've heard it's not very symbiotic, frankly, behind the scenes with some NFL sources who they worry that Reggie's time is going to be short-lived there. And I think Reggie had started doing a pretty good job, honestly, for the Raiders. And I'm concerned right now that Reggie McKenzie is not going to be allowed to do his job and that Gruden's going to take over his job, too. And I think there's just very few head coaches who can handle the day-to-day grind of the head coaching job and the personnel. Right now, Gruden's not doing a very good job with the day-to-day head coaching stuff. I don't think he should be handling all of the personnel moves. And I think his fingerprints were all over the draft last year. That did not look like a Reggie McKenzie draft to me. So right now, you know, I've heard that Khalil Mack was gone because they just couldn't afford him. They couldn't spend the money it was going to take to keep him because they're not in great shape cash-wise until they get fully into Las Vegas. There's talk about them leaving early. I don't know how they're going to play their September games in Las Vegas. I mean, in October, for that matter. Good luck. That's, you know, the weather there is, and there's no dome stadium that I know of where they can play. So it's going to be – it's really – Derek Carr doesn't look – not only does it not look like the answer anymore, it looks like you might have to go in a different direction to quarterback. So I really – I worry for John Gruden, and I liked him a lot as a coach. I liked him more as a broadcaster. I wonder football and how to handle building a team and running the team has passed him by a little bit.
Yeah, your observation that running the day-to-day as far as on the football field is not happening with Gruden, and it looks like he's just got his sights on Las Vegas and in the future and not the here and now. So one of the AFC West foes, the Chargers. Okay, is this the real deal? They're the least talked about team in the league that is just, you know, on this incredible win streak. But I take a look, Lance, and I see their losses were to Kansas City and the Rams. That's respectable. Mm-hmm. But their wins, are they quality wins? We've got Buffalo, San Francisco, Oakland, Cleveland, Tennessee, and then yesterday was Seattle. Are the Chargers for real?
Well, that's a good question. I didn't realize that's who their wins were against, and those aren't, you know, high-level wins necessarily. I do think the win at Seattle is a good win, and especially the way they handled them. I mean, it got closer than it should have been at the end. But you have Phillip Rivers, who's still playing at a high level, a good running game. You've got a defense that, if Joey Bosa were there, would really – add just such a great dimension for them. I think they're for real. I think they're well coached, and I do like what they have on both sides of the football. I do think they're for real. Clearly, Kansas City, Kansas City and New England are on a different in a different level, really. But I think the Chargers are right there as the third team, and I think they're a dangerous team. They don't have the same firepower as Kansas City, and they don't have Tom Brady, obviously. Phillip Rivers, to me, is one of the most underrated quarterbacks over the last 20 years. Just doesn't get the attention he deserves for the consistent, you know, I don't want to call it excellence, but the consistent high level of play that he's had for most of his career. And he's limited physically. He doesn't have a big arm. He's not mobile. And yet he finds a way to do it through grit and through intelligence. And I can't speak highly enough about Phillip Rivers, and I can't speak highly enough about how the Chargers have come out and played this year. I think they're for real. Now, some more quality wins would help, obviously, but we're saying the same thing about the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems like the AFC is not the place you go find a bunch of quality wins these days.
We're talking to Lance Zierlein, and I'd love to ask you about what I see as a debacle in Cleveland. Greg Williams, I mean, how do you end up with him as an interim coach? Is there any way he's back next year? And where do they go find a head coach, and how quickly can they get one?
Well, I think they're going to look at Lincoln Riley in Oklahoma, and it makes sense because for two reasons. Number one, he's done a good job over there at Oklahoma, and then number two, well, really three reasons. Number two, he was Baker Mayfield's coach, and he's the you know, he's obviously the quarterback they're looking to build around. But then thirdly, I think Sean McVay maybe has helped people. Gruden years ago, and then Sean McVay now, really helps people, helps organizations remember that there are some young coaches that can get it done. But more importantly, I think the elements of the college game that have made their way into the pros offensively, they look like they're here to stay. And so I think teams are going to be less concerned about a quote-unquote college offensive mind coming into the pros. So Lincoln Riley's one name. I saw Bruce Arians' name today where Bruce Arians said the only way he'd come out of retirement is for that Cleveland job. That's his way of throwing his name into the hat just in case. There's no way Greg Williams makes it. He's too abrasive. I mean, they have no choice but to stick with Greg Williams now. The only way he got that is because there really was nobody else. You also fired the offense coordinator. So Greg's so abrasive that, you know, I think Cleveland's just, it's really a shame because they had all that momentum going into the year. Hard Knocks got everyone really excited about them. And then it's just, it is just the most jinxed and cursed organization I've seen. It's unbelievable that even when you think something's going to go well, it ends up going sour for Cleveland. I've never seen anything like this.
They have set a new standard, haven't they?
But they really have. I mean, every year it's like it really doesn't matter. If you think they're going to be bad, they're worse than you thought. If you think they're going to be good, they or even average, they end up letting you down. It's just at some point this has to turn for Cleveland.
You would think that, you know. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Okay, speaking of things going bad, so we've already gone over the Oakland Raiders. Who do you think out of these three, the three-way race for the worst team in the NFL, the Raiders, Buffalo Bills, or the New York Football Giants?
Well, I think the Bills are the worst, followed by the Raiders and then the Giants. I know the Giants have only, well, I think they're still at one win, right? But yeah. I don't know. How do you stack this up? I mean, the Bills have at least a couple wins. And I watched the Bills yesterday. It was not good.
It was really, really bad.
Oh,
Chicago scored four touchdowns in the 12 minutes of the second quarter.
I know. But then again, how do I let your Raiders off the hook? I mean, they might have been just as bad last Thursday. So
no, I know. So would you just let my Raiders win something? Let them win the worst in the NFL, please.
I'm fine. They're the worst.
They're going to get the best draft pick, I think. We'll see.
They will be up there. We know that for a fact. Yeah. But that's a really tough one. The Giants, just they feel like they should be better, but there they are. The record is their record.
Very good. You heard it from Lance Zierlein. Lance, thanks so much for joining the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, guys.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
When it comes to vehicle safety, having poor visibility is a risk not worth taking. Visit your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store during the See Better, Drive Safer sale. You'll find deals on name brand headlights, wiper blades, and everything you need to help you see better. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, great to hear from Lance Zierlein. He is an authority on all things NFL.
interesting his take on the Texans, though they started 0-3, they've now won six in a row, and he's going to lean with the last six games more than the first three.
I like it. I mean, that's a, you got to go with the last thing you've seen. So
what they show you in their win over Denver, that's a tough place to win. It's always hard to beat Denver on the road. It was a very, very close game. I mean, let's face it, it came down to a field goal that could have won it for Denver, a missed field goal of 51 yards. So on the one hand, yes, the Texans got there. They had that lead. But on the other hand, if that field goal had gone through, we'd be having a different conversation.
It showed me a few things, because the Texans had a 13-3 lead to begin the game. Yep. They started out red hot, and then Keenum started getting a rhythm in and this kind of thing. It showed me that the Texans played well enough to win. They deserved that win. Yep. Yes, it had to go in their direction, but they did play well enough to win. It wasn't like they made a bunch of mistakes and were just hoping on this. I mean, it was really a hard-fought game. It also showed me that the mistakes that we saw head coach Bill O'Brien making against the Texans, decisions to not go for it or to, you know, punt when they shouldn't punt, game management type decisions that went against us in the early 0-3 record to give us that start. Yesterday, Vance Joseph made them.
Yep.
And that was, you know, right before the half, making the choice to kick a 62-yard field goal.
Yep.
And, of course, he doesn't make it. And it turns the ball over to the Texans, and they go into the half with three extra points, which ended up really being the game.
The difference in the game. And then at the end of the game, Joseph could have been much more aggressive about trying to get his kicker in better field position. Instead, it was a 51-yarder. Now, the kicker had plenty of leg, but the further out you get, the harder it is to get through those goalposts, and that was the difference in the game.
So I like to see that the Texans, it appeared yesterday at least, that Bill O'Brien has learned what coaching decisions, how they can cost you games. And, you know, we saw it with Frank Reich against Houston. We saw it with Vance Joseph against Houston. So I liked it.
Well, let's face it.
I like being on the other end of that.
Among most of the teams in the NFL, there's a very small margin of error.
Oh, tiny.
There's a lot of parity in the league. Yes, there are a few outliers.
And a lot of tight games this year.
A lot of outliers. I mean, there are a few outliers at the top and a few outliers at the bottom, but the rest of it is a murky middle where anybody can beat anybody, and you've got to execute well, and you've got to manage the game very well.
Which I think this makes this NFL season in particular so much fun. We have ties.
Yep.
We have tight games. We have overtime games. I mean, it's an exciting season. There's not a lot of blowouts. Unless you're an Oakland Raider fan, a Buffalo Bill fan.
Jose Helper, she's still suffering from this Raider
Giants
debacle.
It's scarring. It is scarring.
She'll be
Things will be better when they're in Vegas.
When they're rolling the dice in LV.
Hopefully.
Well, with all those draft picks, they surely will do better. I looked on a team that really did better last week. I thought the Falcons were impressive to me because they were facing a team in Washington that had really come to show up. I mean, that team has been playing with a lot of muscle up front on both sides of the ball, and Atlanta schemed it well. They had a 400-yard effort. It was an impressive win for the Falcons.
It was an impressive win for the Falcons. You know what my favorite part of that win was?
Hmm.
And I want to say, OBJ, listen.
Yes?
Julio Jones, and we are talking, this is 9 games into the season, got his first touchdown pass yesterday.
Yeah.
Julio Jones, who is the gold standard for wide receivers in the NFL. Did you see him kicking nets, doing all kinds of dramatic antics?
No temper tantrums.
No, he just went to work, and was a teammate, the ultimate teammate. Yesterday, he finally gets that touchdown. And, I mean, he is mauled by his teammates in the end zone because, you know what? They respect a veteran who was in a sort of a slump for him. And he just plugged on through. And I just wanted to tell OBJ, look at this. That's the example you can be for the New York Giants.
Fair enough. Now, Atlanta has 6 straight games with over 400 yards on offense. And a lot of credit's going to Steve Sarkisian. And you're a little skeptical, I know.
Watch it.
You think
I'm a USC grad. Of course I'm skeptical.
You've seen it go the other way.
I've seen it go the other way. And, you know, he didn't blow it out of the water in Washington either. So
no, he did not.
Nor Alabama.
Right.
So, hey, I hope he turns it around. And, you know, Matty Ice looked great yesterday. 350 yards, 4 touchdowns. That's nothing to sneeze at. So credit Sark where it's needed. But I'm too leery to hang too much on it.
All right, just quickly, we've got New England over Green Bay. That was a highly hyped up matchup. And actually, it was a good game, not the extraordinary game that, say, New Orleans and the Rams were. But I thought this game, you have to give a lot of credit to Belichick. I hate to do this to him each week, but look at what he did. He didn't have Gronkowski. He didn't have Sony Michel. He put Patterson, a wide receiver, back there at running back and figured out a way to get the most out of him. It was masterful.
He looked like the second coming of Cordell Patterson. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Patterson really, as a first-round pick with the Vikings, never really did that much. And there he was. He found his way over to the Raiders for a little bit. Here he is coming to the Patriots. And Belichick's found something with him. He's been able to put him into space, and he's gotten the most out of a player that's not otherwise had a very good career.
Well, and then Josh Gordon had a fantastic game yesterday.
Yeah, another example of that, yes.
So I just think Belichick's scheme, he's got a great scheme, and people want to play for him. He demands discipline. He demands ethic, work ethic, and he gets the production out of him. It's incredible.
Well, they're going to get Gronkowski back eventually. He's all banged up, but nothing that's going to keep him out.
He's banged up a lot. For a guy his size, he is banged up a lot. What gives with that?
Well, I think part of it is he takes a lot of hits. I mean, those catches are usually over the middle. He's stretched out. He's going high for a ball, and he gets pounded in the ribs and the back.
He's bigger than a lot of the people defending him. It's a head-scratcher.
Yeah. Well, congrats to the Patriots. When we return, we will have our boss, check that, the He Said, She Said segment here on the Boss and the Gloss of SB Nation Radio.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
All right, great to be here on Monday night. There's a big Monday night matchup, and we've got Bobby Belt on the ground in Dallas. Bobby, what's the update between the Cowboys and the Titans?
Hey, guys. We've reached halftime here at AT&T Stadium. Titans and the Cowboys are tied at 14. When we last spoke, Dallas led 7-0, was inside Tennessee's 5-yard line, threatening to start running away with this. But Dak Prescott would force a throw to Amari Cooper and into double coverage. Titans all-pro safety Kevin Byard would pick it off in the end zone. And Tennessee takes the ball 80 yards in the next 15 plays and caps it off with a 1-yard touchdown run for Derrick Henry. After forcing a 3-and-out from the Cowboys, Tennessee then rumbles down the field again, this time going 69 yards in 7 plays. Titans running back Deion Lewis takes a screen pass and scampers in from 18 yards. Titans have converted 6 of their 7 third down attempts. Cowboys have had trouble getting them off the field. Dallas is able to answer back just before halftime. Dak Prescott leads the Cowboys down the field on their final possession of the half, going 4-for-6 for 63 yards and finds Allen Hurns wide open from 23 yards out. On the stat sheet tonight, Marcus Mariota is 12-of-15 for 130 yards and a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott has 96 yards from scrimmage, and Amari Cooper has 3 catches for 30 yards and a touchdown in his debut for the Cowboys. Once again, we've just reached halftime here in Arlington, and the Cowboys and the Titans are tied at 14.
That's Bobby Belt, our man on the ground. Okay, that's halftime at Cowboys Stadium. Let's now shift to our He Said, She Said segment. This is a chance when we get to hear what sports luminaries have said, and we'll offer our commentary and analysis. And we're going to begin with Mike Tomlin, who has to answer again, where the heck is Le'Veon Bell, who continues his holdout. Let's hear what Mike Tomlin had to say with a line of questioning about his Steelers.
You know, we hadn't spent a lot of time focused on it because it's not within our control. Those decisions are Le'Veon's. We need volunteers, not hostages. So we're focused on the guys that are here and working, and James is definitely in that mix. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I think our guys have done an awesome job of being focused on the things that matter, the things that are within our control, the challenges that await us like this one here today.
Well, that was refreshingly honest and good for Mike Tomlin.
I like the quote, we need volunteers, not hostages.
I do too.
I don't really know who the hostage is here. It's not, I guess the point is that Le'Veon Bell's not going to hold his team hostage. He wants people to come who want to play.
Absolutely. I agree with him. And look what James Conner is doing in his absence, in Le'Veon Bell's absence.
One of the other things he said in his post-game presser was that a great running game requires 11 people. And they're doing that in Pittsburgh, and they're doing it with James Conner as one of the 11.
No, absolutely. And Le'Veon Bell has till next the 13th, next Tuesday.
This has been a costly holdout.
I mean, almost $8 million he's lost.
It's crazy.
You know, and here's a crazy thing, too. So Antonio Brown, he had his 9th touchdown catch of the season yesterday. Last season, 2017, he had 9 touchdowns total.
Hmm.
So we're only at week 9. Nice. I love what
they're
doing. So
his productivity really has not been affected by Bell's absence.
No, in fact, it's been better.
Intriguing. Well, I'd say this about Bell. I mean, the weird deal that he has to confront here is not only has he lost this money this year, and I know there's a whole argument that it positions him for a better contract next year and there won't be tread on the tires, but there's just also this thing called the clicking clock of age. Mm-hmm. And well, every year that goes by, the probability that you're going to be an elite running back goes down radically. And I can't believe he sat out this year and has cost himself $8 million. He could have played for a very good team and made a lot of money.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers are on their way up and looking good.
All right, let's go to New Orleans, where yesterday Michael Thomas lit it up for the Saints. He was outstanding. The stand-up wide receiver caught over 200 yards in passing, and he channeled his inner Joe Horn. You may remember Joe Horn with his touchdown celebration. Let's listen to Michael Thomas and the call when Michael Thomas went to get his cell phone.
Kamara starts in the slot. Passes to Thomas. He's gone. Touchdown, Saints. 72 yards to Michael Thomas on third down.
Michael Thomas just simply runs right by him. And you know, the Saints are going to be penalized for this celebration at the end of the play using a prop. That's very uncharacteristic of Michael Thomas. The cell phone that he hit prior to the game.
Okay, that's what he did.
You don't like that.
I don't like it, but he had to explain it, and here's what he had to say is why he did it.
I watched the YouTube video before the game when he did against the Giants and everything, and the guy kind of helped him. No one knew that I was going to do it, so guys that ran down with me, they didn't help me, but you know, I got to it and made my call.
So, Mike, you were the one who put it there yourself?
I think Joe Horn left me some.
And did you have one on each side of the field?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so he took flip phones, he put one at each side of the field, not knowing at which end he would score. He scored, he showed it up, but it cost his team a 15-yard penalty.
Well, you know what it did, though? If you're superstitious, which I am because most sports fans are,
yeah,
he's going to be hiding phones in all the goalposts because he had a record-setting day with 12 catches, 211 yards. I mean, no wide receiver has done that in a single day.
Look, he's outstanding, but when he scored that touchdown, when he did the celebration,
the game was not wrapped up.
No, the Saints had a 10-point lead with the extra point with about 4 minutes to play against a very prolific offense, the Rams. I cannot believe that Sean Payton's happy with that decision.
It was gutsy. It was gutsy and his little risky.
All right. We talked about a lot of wide receiver trades that have taken place in the last few weeks right before the trading deadline. One is Amari Cooper playing for the Cowboys tonight. The Texans were short of wide receiver. When Will Fuller was injured, they went out and they traded a fourth-round pick to the Broncos for Demaryius Thomas. And frankly, it's hard to think about how a guy can come in and fit in with the team in very short order. Thomas didn't get the bye week the way that Amari Cooper has had with the Cowboys. Let's listen to Demaryius Thomas about his coming in, playing for the Texans against his former team, the Denver Broncos, last Sunday.
On first down from the 36, quick toss to Thomas. Charlie Lyon is athleticism, and he's got a first down and inside Denver territory. And he's knocked out of bounds by Justin Simmons. Well, that'll ease the butterfly.
Okay, so that was Thomas's catch, his first catch. Texans fed him the ball right away.
Which was smart.
Yeah.
You got to get the bugaboo off him, especially in his former stadium where he played for 9 years.
Right. But he was welcomed back very warmly by the Bronco fans.
Class act by Denver. Yeah. Absolutely.
Opening catch, 31-yard reception. That's a great way to start his career as a Texan.
But, you know, they did ask Demaryius Thomas in the postgame presser. They asked him, you know, how did it feel? You know, what? How do you think your team felt? Your old team felt? He said, well, that's just what they do. Losing in the final minutes.
Right.
He goes, I'm really glad I'm on a team that wins.
Right. Right.
Ouch.
You know, it's tough. You're with a bunch of guys one day. You're shipped out the next day. You put on a different uniform, and then you've got to line up against them, compete, and beat them. It is an interesting switch that people have to do in very short order in the NFL.
You know, it was nice to see with Demaryius Thomas yesterday. He is a class act for sure, five-time Pro Bowler. And mutual respect between the Broncos and Demaryius Thomas. So at the end of the game, clearly a hard-fought game, and it went the Texans' way at the end. He did not stay on the field. He was the first one. He sprinted into that tunnel. It was just like, get me out of here. This is,
I noticed that. Was there an explanation from him why he ran off so quickly? He really just took off running. He did not want to stay on the field at all.
I think it was too, it was emotional. Mm-hmm. That's a very emotional day. I mean, you have, your family lives there. You've been there 9 years with that franchise who's treated you well, and then you're abruptly traded at the deadline without even a thought bubble. And I think the emotions were just too much for him. And I applaud him not being angry, staying in that field, putting it in their face. He appreciated, the fans appreciate him. They were lovely to him yesterday, and I think that was his nice gesture of kind of, there's a lot of emotion in me. It's best for me to just get out of the line.
The emotion to be traded. Jose.
My favorite part of the whole thing was, I don't know if you guys saw this, after the game, Peyton Manning's kids were waiting for him outside of the Texans locker room to hug him and to say
that
hi to him.
That was Peyton's kids. That.
And they were wearing his new Texans jersey.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. Well, that's great.
And, of course, Peyton and Demaryius had many good years there with Denver.
Did.
So they've got a history.
Won a Super Bowl together. So.
Yeah. Well, in many ways, Manning's been a class act, and that really doesn't surprise me that he would come out and do that. Those trades are emotional. You know that we got offered a chance to trade Jose to another entity here in town.
No way, Jose. He's not going.
Well, it was for a player to be named later and a third-round pick. I called up Zerline. He said, you got to get more than the third-round pick. Keep Jose.
You're more than even a first rounder, Jose. So we got to keep you.
I'm glad at least Lance sees my value.
Yeah. Is he talking to the boss directly?
Well, I mean, Lance is very careful with his draft capital. You know, he appreciates those picks. He's a draft nick. He always overvalues picks. So that's how he saw it. But we still got Jose here. We haven't traded you away to another jersey.
I'm glad.
Okay, good. All right, let's talk about Cam Newton. He and the Panthers are lighting it up offensively. A lot of credit's going to the old dog who's learned some new tricks, former offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, Norv Turner, former head coach of the Washington Redskins, Norv Turner. He's now the OC for Carolina. And let's hear what Cam Newton is saying about his life under Norv Turner and his life with the Panthers this year offensively.
What the collaboration sounds like, though, between you and him during a game, you guys... what you guys are talking about and that dynamic between you two.
What's up, Coach? What's up, baby? How you feel? I feel all right. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a good game today, all right? You know, stay focused, all right? Boom. Then when I score a touchdown, it's, oh, I love it. So,
so what that soundbite does to me is picture in your head Norv Turner. I mean, he looks like Joe, All-American, older man.
Grandpa.
Yeah, he's grandpa. Cam's young, flipping. You know, he comes out in those outfits.
Orange suits, hat.
Yep. And then he's saying, hey, yo, dad, this and that. I mean, the way he just, the banter he's got going. And then Norv Turner, probably very straight-laced. And they seem like a cultural clash, but together.
Opposites attract.
They are making magic on the field for the Panthers.
Hey, if that works, and clearly it's working. I mean, you look at yesterday. Carolina scored touchdowns on five consecutive possessions in the first half.
Yeah.
And built a 35-7 lead.
Yep.
Now, it is against Tampa Bay, but the Fitzmagic led Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, of course, Tampa had to make a challenge to come back and credit Fitzmagic for doing a little magic.
Absolutely.
But Norv pulled out some old plays. They had a double reverse in their playbook mm-hmm. that went for a big gain. Greg Olsen with the big catch over the middle. Cam Newton had the confidence to throw it to Olsen in traffic in the end zone. It's funny to see this again, but Cam Newton is putting up the same kind of numbers this year that he did in his MVP season.
When Cam is putting up those numbers, there's no one more fun to watch. He is fantastic. And credit Norv Turner as well for being able to use Christian McCaffrey in the way that he has. I mean, yesterday he had 150 yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns. He's great to watch. What a utility knife out there.
All right, this is our final He Said, She Said. It's a fun one.
It's a good one.
Alex Bregman, the legend here for the Houston Astros. He was on a busy weekend. He was out watching the LSU-Alabama matchup, and he ran into an LSU fan who was wearing his Astros jersey. It said Bregman on the back, and he went up and approached her, and we can hear what happened.
I love her jersey. That's a jersey.
Thank you.
I love it. You like it? Let me see the back.
I don't know who that is.
Can you show me the back? Who's on the back?
Oh.
Oh.
So she didn't really realize that that was Alex Bregman standing in front of her. She was just wearing the jersey happily, and along came the man who owns the jersey.
Well, at least Alex Bregman can take solace in the fact that she didn't say, I don't even know who this guy is. She said, right. I don't even know who the Astros are. Well, so at least she took the whole team down with her.
Right.
Now, we did do some sleuthing around and found out that she is a pre-nursing student.
Yes.
I don't want her taking care of me.
No.
I will not send you details. To her. Right.
Fair enough.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap up with my favorite segment. We get to take a look at what we've learned these 2 hours from Carla Dawson, The Gloss, on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
All right, I get to declare what I've learned from you over the past 2 hours.
This ought to be short.
Now, I'm going to start with your assertion, the Raiders are not the worst team in football. The Bills are, point one, and part two to that, in John Gruden we trust.
Bingo, bingo. I'm sticking to it.
She's sticking to it.
I may look like a fool, but I'm sticking to it.
All right. On the Houston Texans, you had a quote today that I think is going to go national. You said with the Texans, the way to look at their season, where they started 0-3 and they've won 6 in a row now, to say about the Texans, we need to say progress, not perfection.
Yes. I'll take it. Next year, I might not be so kind. Forgiving, okay. But that's where we are now, and I like it.
You're going to declare that the L.A. Chargers, who have had a nice winning streak of their own, are overrated.
When I look at the quality wins, I see one.
Okay, only one quality
win. They beat who they should have beat. But I would say the toughest, the really quality win is against Seattle, which was yesterday.
Well, they'll have a matchup against the Chiefs coming soon. Their second time of the year, we'll see.
They do have quality losses, mm-hmm. Kansas City and the Rams.
I learned that you're excited about, well, this year, the kickoff of college basketball, because usually it's a small or it's a subtle, quiet beginning, but they've got a big showdown, two big showdowns tomorrow.
Oh, it is a throwdown. Michigan State, Kansas, Duke, Kentucky. What a start.
I learned that you're going to scold that little LSU student who didn't recognize Alex Bregman, even though she wore his baseball T-shirt.
I mean, for shame. Do not put someone's name on your back if you don't even know who the Astros are. Eek.
And I know when you leave here, you'll be walking out with a flip phone, celebrating.
Two.
Two flip phones. She's taking them both.
One for each side of the room.
One for each side of the room. You've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. When we come back, it will be Alex Gold of the Gold Standard. Be sure to stay tuned for Alex Gold next up on SB Nation Radio.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them. I just...
Whoa, wait. You mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool, but financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said. You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on...
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.